Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, this is Chris.
And this is Lorenzo.
And welcome to Hacking Your Leadership, a Spreaker Prime podcast.
Thanks to all our Patreon members and our loyal listeners for tuning in today. Before we begin, here's a short message from a sponsor.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share 4 decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, on this episode, I want to talk about something that we haven't talked about in a while, and that is results.
One of my most favorite things.
Yeah. And the reason I want to bring this up is because, you know, we've gotten some feedback from some people who've actually said, you know, hey, I love this stuff you're doing when it comes to psychological safety. I love what you're doing when it comes to the employee experience, the talks we've had on Clubhouse recently, some of the episodes we've had on the employee experience in general. And somebody actually opined to me recently that it seems like maybe the numbers aren't as important, the results aren't as important. And I was taken aback by it because the numbers, to me, have always been incredibly important. I feel like it's not very hard to convince people that numbers are important when it comes to, you know, traditional leadership. That's the go-to, really, is to look at the numbers, right? And for, you know, the stuff that we're trying to do is to say that, hey, the numbers are absolutely important, but how you get there is equally as important, not just the number itself, right? And so the reason why I want to talk about numbers is because I think there's a kind of a vast difference in how leaders look at numbers and what they do with that information. And you know, it's like with anything in life, it's a tool. Look at the results you have access to, whether it's a P&L or a company generated scorecard of whatever it is, those numbers are a tool. And what you do with that tool is up to you as a leader and the culture of your organization. But there are definitely leaders who do well and write things with those tools, and leaders who don't. So in your experience, the first thing I want to say is, have you been in situations where you felt leadership around you was using those results or those numbers in a way that maybe they shouldn't have, and maybe, you know, things you've done to kind of rectify that?
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting because you know, when it comes to specifically like output and leadership, you know, how you measure success is extremely important. And also understanding that, you know, leadership kind of exists within this context of whatever the business is that you work within. So, of course, sure, like to continue to have career growth and continue to have, you know, teams get bigger and continue to have opportunities for people, you need jobs to you know, for that stuff to happen. Like all of this growth and development is a great thing. And what you want that to result in is a job for somebody, or an opportunity, or a promotion, or whatever that might look like. And those things happen in business when business is good. So whatever the industry is, whatever the company is, whatever the organization is, there is this output that is necessary to not only, you know, maintain and sustain the business, but to grow the ability to have more human capital and to have more people have opportunities. And I think to your point, like, that's always the thing, right? And the interesting thing about how those numbers attach to behaviors is that if you are truly developing people, if you are truly working to people's strengths, if you are helping people to get better at what they do and providing them with perspective and really growing them, they should become more productive and more efficient in whatever it is that they're doing. And by doing so, it should output a better number, however you measure that, right? I think to answer your question, though, where I see it most is in two places where I think that leaders struggle with it. Number one is that we snapshot it. We only look at maybe a result or a number for like the last 30 days when there's been a body of work over the course of a month or a year. And we've talked about this before in the podcast. It's like, look, if all of a sudden what I'm being measured on last week is not good, it doesn't mean that the 5 years before that of great performance makes me a bad leader all of a sudden.
Right.
It just means something happened, you know, within the business or the behaviors that was not up to par on what we normally deliver. So if you only look at a snapshot of something without greater context, I see that can be an issue, you know, and that's something where maybe last year, like my favorite thing is like last year was a really bad year in whatever the industry was. And then this year we're going to celebrate. Oh my gosh, look at that. We had 10% more, 20% more. You know, the business has grown. I'm like, yeah, but last year it was down 40%. So simple math will tell me that we're not even close to where we were 2 years ago. So you have to have context. So like snapshot managing of numbers, I think is something that is a mistake that a lot of leaders make. I think the second thing that leaders make a mistake on is they make the assumption that people don't want to know where they stand. They make the assumption, good, bad, or indifferent, that people don't want to understand how they are delivering upon what they are responsible for. And if you stand there and say, I have great people, and I want to be a leader who empowers people, and I want to be a leader who supports people, yet you don't help them see where they stand, and you don't allow them to compare and contrast themselves to others, I think it's really hard for you to actually get people to want to help one another and build a culture where you can actually have real great mentoring and coaching amongst peers if they have no idea where they stand in comparison to other people.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think there's, you know, I look at, you know, my kids are playing sports right now, and, you know, my son plays, he's on a swim team and he's on a water polo team. And the difference between how a person looks at what their responsibility is when they are doing something where they consider it to be an individual win versus a team win is vastly different. You know, it's harder to convince him that when he's not swimming a race to be standing on the edge of the pool cheering people on, because to him it's like, well, that's their race. That's not my race. But when he's playing water polo and he's not playing and he's on the side of the pool, he's cheering people on, because to him it's like, well, that other person's result is now impacting me because it's a team result. And there's like an inherent kind of belief that, you know, we win as a team or we lose as a team versus we win individually or lose individually. And I think in a lot of organizations, leaders who don't know how to kind of lean on that and to make individual people feel like you win as a team or you lose as a team, it can be a mistake. Because if an individual person believes that they themselves are doing well, but they either don't have visibility to what their team as a whole is doing, or if the leader isn't articulating that to them in a way that leads them to believe that the opportunities, like what you talked about, you know, results equal opportunities, right? If they don't see that the opportunities are not coming from their individual performance, but rather a combination of their individual performance and the team performance, then I think that individual people are less likely to take it upon themselves to help others rise where they might be struggling, or to reach out themselves if they feel like they're struggling on something and say, hey, you know, I don't want to bring the team down here, and I feel like I'm struggling with this. Hey, I noticed that you're really good at it. Can you help me with this? And I think that the more transparency there is with that, and along with transparency, the culture of leadership that says, hey, we are in this together and we help each other along together, those two things together can create powerful forces, because I think peer accountability is a really, really strong force.
Yeah, like an example, like in the water polo analogy, like could you imagine for a second in a team sport? And again, if we're talking about a leader of a team, you are then in a team sport. Everybody's individual contribution matters to the greater whole, and you want the team to win, right?
Right.
Could you imagine that when Nathan got out of the pool, when he wasn't playing in the pool, that he had to stand behind a blockade where he couldn't watch the game?
Yeah, that'd be ridiculous.
Right. It was like, I'm just here. I'll wait. My coach has to go back in. I jump in the water. I look around. Now I know what the score is. Now I see who's in the pool with me. Now I have to think about what was actually happening because I had no visibility to seeing what's going on, mm-hmm. nor the score or anything. How could I possibly help? How could I possibly help my team? The value of being on the sidelines and watching, the value of seeing other people perform and their performance, the value of seeing the person who gets three goals while I'm on the sideline versus the person who's struggling to just pass the ball appropriately, like all of a sudden, I now have an ability as a team player to go and help that person. I have the chance to say, hey, you did amazing. Great job. Can you help me learn how to do that? Because I'm not scoring as much as you are. And you get to say, hey, Lorenzo, I saw you were really struggling here. When the ball would go to you, you'd freeze up. You weren't doing what you needed to do. You weren't getting to the ball fast enough. Can we spend some time together so as your teammate, I can help you get better? We take that away the moment you don't allow a team to see the results of everybody else or have the context of the game or see the larger score outside of their own, you take away the opportunity for mentorship and collaboration and help. And if you believe that you have the right people on your team, then they would want that information to be able to do the right thing. And I think that that's something to really think about as you not only work on teams where you want to not only publicize the results, but see what your team does with them, and do they help one another or do they not?
Yeah, that's true. When leaders struggle with this, it's that they don't necessarily have the confidence that the people on the team who are excelling will do right with that information. They don't have that confidence. And I'm not saying they're right or they're wrong. For whatever reason, if they're kind of playing that information close to the vest and they feel like they have to own the individual performances of the people on their team as opposed to having the team own it together, what they're essentially saying is, I don't want this person who's bringing up the rear to feel bad, or I don't want this person to feel like they're being called out. It's like, well, wait, what do you mean called out? Like, who's calling them out? By putting the numbers out there, are you calling them out? Well, if you think you are, then you're wrong. That calling somebody out in a negative way is what you do with the information, not just that it exists. It exists. It's there. Like, the numbers are what they are. And I'll tell you, if I was a person on the team who was doing really well, and there was somebody on my team who was not doing really well, I would absolutely want to know who those people were, not so I could say, what were you thinking? You're ruining my results. But so that I could say, all right, let's figure out how we can get you up to the level where you need to be so that we can all win together as a team. Because at the end of the day, I want those opportunities. I want the opportunities to be able to move up. I want opportunities to promote. I want opportunities to take on more responsibility. And it doesn't matter how good I do individually, if the team as a whole is struggling, that's all anybody sees. My direct boss might see my individual performance and be able to pat me on the back. Great. That's not going to create promotions for me. That's not going to create opportunities for me if my entire team is struggling. And so I think there's a shirking of responsibility that leaders do when they don't have, faith in their team to help each other along. And number two, to hold them accountable when they don't. If you put information out there and people on your team are doing the wrong thing with it, they're the wrong people for your team. I don't care how well they perform.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was going to say. Is I think that if your concern as a leader is like what's your team going to do with the information and could it be negative, then you have the wrong people on your team, and that falls upon your shoulders directly, right? So I love that you said that. I think the other thing, and I look at obviously, being in retail leadership for my entire career, one of the beautiful, unique things about it is that we are typically very transparent with exactly how, teams or stores or markets or whatever it is, how they perform. And we have all the data that shows us that. And I will be able to tell you that, like, in those moments where I've had success in performance and in those moments where I have had opportunities in performance of the teams that I've led, I love the fact that I now have a list of people that I can reach out to directly and ask for help, or I have a list of people that I can reach out to directly and say, do you need any help? right? Because the relationships that we have over time as a team is that you would want everybody to be successful. You would want to make sure that you're offering some level of support to those that may be struggling. And I can tell you personally, this happened to me, you know, 3-4 weeks ago with something that we were working on as a team. We were not where we wanted to be. I was able to get that information quickly. I went right to the top, and I personally text messages to people in my network and said, "What are you doing? Clearly, you figured this out. So like, walk me through what you're doing, because I'm either looking for validation of what I think I need to get better at, or I might be misreading this somewhere and I'm not thinking about something in a way that I need help with." And sure enough, right? Immediate responses, of course, here you go. Here's what we're doing. Here's what's going on. That is so critical for me then to go back to my team and provide an element of, number one, confidence, and number two, like the humility that we're going to go and ask. Like, if we're not good, I'll tell you exactly who I asked. And the reason why I asked them is here's where they're at. And this is what they provided me with. And this is what I think, you know, we've been talking about this, but this just cements our strategy and what we want to do and how we want to get better. So like, I believe that way. If you as a leader are concerned about publicizing the results of your teams and as individuals, then that's one of two things. Either you don't have the real courage necessary to be a leader to understand how important that is to building teams, or you have the wrong people on your team and you know that, and your concern is that if you publicize that information, they will do bad things with it, and you don't have the courage to hold them accountable to get them off of your team for what they do.
Yeah, 100%. And I love the context of when you said when you reached out to those other people who had the score, the scorecard looked well, like it looked good. You said either you have this figured out, or I'm missing something here. And I like that, because I've been in situations where I've received that call, where someone reached out to me on a team from a different team, different part of the organization, and said, "Hey, you know, we just had that conference call. You know, it seems like you this thing that we're all struggling with, it seems like you really have this figured out. What are you doing?" And I've had to say, "Hey, I'll be honest with you. We didn't do that on purpose. Like, it just, I'm trying to figure it out right now, because yeah, it looks like we're doing well in that, and I'm trying to dig into the behaviors that got us there. But I can't really articulate a why to you yet, but let me get back to you on that one, because I'm trying to figure that out myself." Because that's important too, and it goes back to what we said at the very beginning around context, and that's that the scorecard itself isn't what you did. It's just a starting point for trying to figure out what you did. And just like when you said about if 2021 is double digit growth, it's like, yeah, double digit growth on what? You were closed 38 weeks of the year. Yeah, I should hope it'd be triple digit growth. Like, why wouldn't it be? And so the context of that absolutely matters. And so to look at this with this kind of myopic view of like, oh, I put my blinders on and I look at what this number says on this one Excel spreadsheet, and that is the end all be all of how I begin and end my day. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying don't look at it, but all you should glean from that number, that scorecard, that thing, is that, all right, this is where I'm starting. Let's dig in to see how I got there. All right, now, is it based on the fact that we had a terrible year last year because of COVID? Yeah, that's part of it. So do I want to necessarily jump out and say to my team, great job? Not necessarily, because they'll be able to see right through that. But on the flip side, what if something happened that was amazing in one year that was not replicable, right? So your team does something absolutely incredible. They sign a huge contract with someone, and it's something that was just out of the blue. You can't count on it again next year. Well, next year is probably not going to be as good. But then you have to look at different parts of the business in order to validate those behaviors. You can't just say, oh, you know, this year you're down from last year. Well, yeah, I mean, because you know this was handed to us on a silver platter last year. It's not something that we necessarily can replicate every single year. Think about it in context, and let's look at different elements of that scorecard. Let's look at the behaviors to figure out if what we're doing is right, as opposed to just what that number is.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to this episode's 1 minute hack. But first, a word from a sponsor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The 1 minute hack.
All right, for this episode's 1 Minute Hack, here's what I want you to do. Start by asking yourself this question. Is there transparency amongst all the people on my team as far as who's doing well and who's not doing well in their individual contributions to that team? Regardless of the answer to that question, there is something. The next step is clear. If there is transparency and everybody can see what everybody's performance is, are you taking steps to make sure that the leaders and the people who are bringing up the rear are being partnered together on those individual competencies or the things that are expectations of your team to make sure that they're getting each other better? Or are you kind of letting the chips fall where they may? If you're letting the chips fall where they may, then you're not taking advantage of the great talent you have on your team in order to help the people who are bringing up the rear get better and make more of a contribution to the team. Start doing that. Start partnering people together and being intentional on how to get people better by using the talent on your team. If you are unable to or unwilling to, or the culture of your organization is such that there isn't a lot of transparency, that doesn't stop you from partnering people together anyway. It might be not in the context of, hey, here's the scorecard, here's who's great and here's who's terrible, but it's in the context of, hey, Lorenzo and Chris, you're really good at this and you're really good at that. I'm going to partner the two of you together so you can help each other in the areas where you might be struggling a little bit more. So regardless of what the culture of your organization is or the ability to share those results, there are things you can do as a leader to make sure that the people who are doing well on the team and the people who are not doing as well on the team are partnered together so that you can all feel like you're winning together on those team results.
Absolutely. No, I like that a lot. And I think to underscore that point of, you know, it can be helpful to post results, but even if you can't, for whatever the reasons are, encouraging your team to work together since you have access to see it all. And sometimes that's just subjective access. If you are the manager in charge of a team and you're seeing performance and they're technically responsible for very different things, but the output is a collective team effort. You may be talking about things that aren't relevant to the task of what they do every day, but to the behaviors that they show you and how they get work done, how they communicate with one another, those types of things. So it really, you know, falls in the hands of leaders to make those connections, even if the numbers or the results being posted won't do them for you.
I agree. And then lastly, I just want to say too, in this, that, you know, we always talk about how a little bit of knowledge can be dangerous. A person who doesn't know anything kind of knows they don't know anything. A person who knows a little bit can kind of think they know a lot. As the leader, you need to know the context of what each of the numbers on your scorecard mean. You need to know them well. Because if you only have a little bit of information and you're just seeing what a comparative number is, but you don't really know what goes into those numbers, you could have a tendency to not do the right thing with those numbers or to think they mean differently or more or less than they actually mean. So really dig into them yourself and figure out what behaviors go into them and what leads to a number being the way it is. And you're going to be much more likely to make sure that when you translate that to your team, that you're doing it in the form of what behaviors are expected and not just what that number is supposed to look like.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you all next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.